It is Locked On Jazz for the 27th of July. The sports world in the midst of COVID getting more fascinating by the moment. Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley find ways to find the rim. We'll talk about the Jazz scrimmage and the three-point shooting as well. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Rock Auto, reasonably low prices at all times. Great selection. It's rockauto.com. I want to thank everyone. Last week, the Locked On Jazz audience was up 39% from 29%, excuse me, 29% from the week previous and 83% from 4 weeks ago. So really appreciate that. Thank you very much for tuning in, putting the Jazz back into your life. I know things are crazy. None of us are quite doing things the same way, and you've made it back to be a part of your life. I thank you very much for that. This is really, I have been mesmerized, fascinated by the sports world this entire time in how, and also society and whether we're going back to school and all these different things on what we're doing and how we're managing in the midst of COVID-19 in our new world. You know, tip of the hat to our staff of the Jazz. They found a way to, I think, put on some really nice broadcasts. Like, that was how we can do that. Just a little while ago, it was announced that the Miami Marlins have canceled their game today because of an outbreak. Eight more players, two coaches, and so they're now at 14 players. The one thing I don't understand on this is I guess they can't get the other players there. I thought they were carrying really large teams so that in case this happened, baseball be all right. But this is fascinating. So we have the NBA that's in the bubble, and thus far, no positive tests. Lou Williams broke quarantine, some things like that. And we're seeing, so that's the most stringent. We just saw the Women's Soccer League, which seemed to be like in somewhat of a bubble in Salt Lake, but not like as extreme as the NBA's, be able to get through. And maybe some of you know better what the Women's Soccer League's restrictions were, but they just got the Houston Dash just won their championship. So they got through it in a short, condensed period of time. But the Orlando Pride didn't make it, so they had flaws before they got there. The MLS Cup is going on. Europe's got things under control a little bit, and they're playing their Premier League. In America, then, we have these different versions. So the PGA Tour is moving from site to site individually, individuals moving site to site with testing, and they've had some positive tests, but they're generally, I would say, putting on their events at a pretty high level. And then we have the lacrosse championship that just started in Salt Lake City. We'll see how that plays out. And you have Major League Baseball, who's traveling as groups from city to city, right? So you have the NBA bubble, just on our big ones. You have the NBA bubble. You have the soccer bubble. You have the women's soccer bubble, but I think with less restrictions. But those are non-travel. So those have all seemed to be working without travel. Then we add in the PGA Tour, which has travel and individual travel. So not group travel and not the same locker room kind of setting. And that seems to be working fairly well right now. No major outbreaks, but they've had positive tests. I think it's going to be hard to avoid positive. And then you have Major League Baseball that's doing group travel to various cities and has locker rooms, and they've had their first outbreak and their first suspension almost immediately. Where does that leave NHL? Where does that leave college, which is even more complicated because NFL, NHL will be pocketed bubbles with less travel should what we know so far should work. NFL gets interesting. It has less travel. It's not traveling nearly as much. It's individuals to the extent that people, once they're out of the locker room, are going home to their individual spots and probably can stay under control. And then you have college, which is the most difficult, which is travel, group, and they're all living together. So I find this really, you know, quite fascinating to watch and see how it all plays out and what happens. Did anybody watch the WNBA that debuted in their bubble this weekend? Because first of all, the games were great, just great. It's really interesting. I think this is going to be a mammothly big year for the WNBA for a few reasons. One, we're desperate for sports. I mean, on one level, they're going to get overwhelmed here pretty quickly. On the other level, one of the problems WNBA has always had is optics. That the arena's not full. It doesn't look, there's not an atmosphere to the game. The game itself, if you isolate it, it's pretty darn good. These women have gotten great. And now their game looks exactly like an NBA game. No fans in the bubble. They're not going to have the Microsoft Team fans. They're not going to that expense. But it was noticeable to me that their game looked exactly like an NBA game. And therefore, I think as a fan watching it, you're more easily able to equate to what they're doing. And I think it'll be a huge support to the league. That's my quick take on a thought I had this weekend on that. All right, let's get to, hey, at this point, we're not playing games that count in the NBA. One of the big stories, is it working? And so far, the NBA is working. Baseball's in its opening week, has now canceled the game. And we're going to watch it in the in college sports, all of the nonprofit leagues have generally stepped away. Where there's revenue and profit to be had, they've done something else. So, I find it fascinating. I hope you do as well. Let's get to the Jazz. There are a bunch of really interesting things going on with the Jazz. There's kind of the headline, which I don't think is as important as everybody makes it, which is the Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. Oh, he threw him three alley-oops, and they're all better. What I think, you know, there was some interesting interplay between the two of them after the game. Mark Medina, USA Today reported, and I think that's probably more important. Donovan, you know, walking by Rudy while on his Zoom call saying, three time, and kind of busting Rudy, you don't have to be so serious, and going back and forth, and some of that playfulness between the two of them, I think that's important. I mean, that's who Donovan is at his essence. And so the fact that you're seeing that, I think, is probably in regards to relations is more important. It's not as though these guys, I was around them all the time. I mean, they've been pretty open that they weren't like best of friends. They also weren't like sitting on the opposite ends of the bus. They weren't like clicking together with one group versus another. You know, there's aspects of Rudy where he's kind of openly admitted that he's not the easiest person to get along with. Donovan probably has a little bit of that as well. I'm not sure, but I think I frankly haven't seen it. Donovan's got a pretty special disposition about him. But on the other end, like, Rudy, the data shows Rudy's got an argument that Donovan doesn't throw him enough passes. So we saw Donovan throwing passes. That, in that sense, what's important there is like, well, what is happening? What's the change that's allowing Donovan to get the ball to Rudy? And I have that for you. I'll give that to you in a second. But I think that's, you know, the interplay stuff, I think, is more important than anything else you're seeing. Because we're seeing, you know, what we're seeing is the fact that, they're good guys. Both of them are. They're both completely committed to trying to see what takes place and winning. And, you know, they don't have to be best friends, but it's not as though they've been mortal enemies either. So I think that's a little bit, I think some of that's been overplayed. I mean, hey, Rudy said it well the other day. I said it a lot. The two things, and I've kind of said this the entire time on this issue. One is their shared relationship is about performing when they're at their genius together in a manner that allows them to, win and have that group experience. And COVID made it so they couldn't have that group experience in any way at all. And so I think that's what a lot of this was about. The other thing is just, you know, let them get back to doing those things and then it all kind of plays together. And I think that's what we've generally seen here. All right. How were Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell able to connect with Rudy Gobert in a manner that we hadn't seen before? There actually are some X's and O's changes to what's taking place here that is actually worth talking about, that's actually basketball, not just this silly talk of all these various, you know, rumors and innuendos and everything else. So let's get to those and continue on that as we continue on Locked On Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Fun stuff going on with at Murdoch Chevy, taking place all around the Wasatch Front up in Logan and in Woods Cross. The Chevy lineup is just great. I mean, you know the Suburban and the Tahoe. Those are the best you can find in the SUV lineup. But that Blazer's equally as fabulous. And right now you get 12% MSRP cash back. The Equinox, the 2020 Equinox, a little smaller. I drove it. It was quiet. It was zippy. It had great controls in the front. Well, felt very comfortable. That's 15% MSRP. Plus, you've got the Murdoch Sure program going on right now. Come on in. Test drive. Or they'll bring it to you. Do all your shopping online for the Murdoch Sure program to make sure you're completely comfortable. And I cannot talk Chevy without talking Chevy trucks. There's nothing quite like the way the Chevy truck is built. The Silverado and the Colorado are the trucks. The Colorado's the smaller one, the versatile. The Silverado makes you just feel like you're the king in charge of all things. It's Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and in Logan. If you're going to stop by, email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Let's dig into the X's and O's. Let's start with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and the three dunks, because there's something really interesting taking place here with how they all happen. And then Mike Conley's success in the third quarter is done a little differently. But there's an element of change I think we're seeing here out of Quinn Snyder and the coaching staff that's worth watching. What we've been seeing most often over the time period is a pick and roll where Donovan sets the pick, Rudy rolls, Donovan rolls with Rudy. They're like on a parallel path, and 6'1" Donovan is trying to get a pass over the top of the defense to Rudy, and it's incredibly difficult. And then Donovan gets caught in that floater and throws that floater because he doesn't have a window to get to Rudy, and you can't really bounce paint-to-paint passes to Rudy. That's not a very successful manner. So let me, I'm gonna back this up. We haven't done one of these in a while, and it's always hard on us. So the way we think about the pick and roll all the time is the pick set, Rudy rolls, Donovan comes down, and they're rolling right next to each other. And if Rudy gets held up, then Donovan gets too far ahead of Rudy sometimes if they're holding Rudy. Donovan's either got to slow up at that point in the pocket, let Rudy roll. We've seen Donovan kind of hold it in there at times. It doesn't seem to work particularly well. They're either equal to each other. Now Donovan's got to throw a pass over a defender who's dropping, and the big's dropping right with him, and the way it works on the pick and roll if you're playing drop big is that the big is dropping to the basket and Rudy's rolling, and they just stay between Rudy and the basket the whole time, but they're still affecting Donovan, and now Donovan can't get the pass over to Rudy, right? So those are the two things we've seen. Well, the change we saw against Miami was that Donovan would come off the Rudy pick, and Rudy, first of all, got off the pick. Phoenix was really grabbing, and in Miami against Miami, Rudy did a better job of getting off the pick and getting downhill. But Donovan would come off the pick and at 16 to 18 feet, cross over, hold, slow up for a second. Rudy would roll, and now the play basically starts with Rudy being down in what at times by some teams is called the dunker spot, which if you think about the basket, there's room behind the basket before you get to the baseline on either side of the basket. Rudy would roll and be pretty close to that dunker spot. Now Donovan's up above the free point line, or up above at least the free throw line. So think about this. That's really important. So instead of having Rudy and Donovan on parallel tracks going down the lane and at the same, you know, longitudinal line, or in some cases when Rudy gets held, Donovan is now ahead and Rudy's behind the pass. Now you have Donovan comes off the pick. He crossed over. He kind of hesitated. He held. You heard Quinn talk about their patience. And Rudy was able to get to the baseline. Now Donovan starts his attack. Well, the big, whose job earlier, if you recall, the big man for the other team, so in this case, Myers Leonard's, job is to stay below Rudy. Go back to the way we used to do it. Donovan and Rudy are on the same longitudinal lines. The big is dropping. The big's just sitting in the middle of them like a triangle, staying below Rudy, affecting Donovan. Well, now Rudy's all the way back down, so the big has to go all the way back down. Donovan hesitates up top. Donovan crosses over. Donovan now beats his man, gets into the lane. The big has to step forward to Donovan. Rudy's now open. The best thing I'd actually compare it to is think about the Clint Capela dunks from James Harden. Harden goes isolation, drives the lane. Rudy has to step over and help. Clint Capella's behind him just waiting back in the dunker. Houston doesn't play the pick and roll. Houston just plays the isolation. They're not doing the pick part of it when they had Clint Capela. What Quinn seems to have done here is that the first one, Donovan comes off and he delays. Rudy gets down to the dunker. Donovan drives, lobs it up to Rudy. The second one, Donovan comes from the left elbow. Now, this one's a little different because what they did on this one is Donovan's coming from the left elbow, so he's catching it a little lower than he would have otherwise. He gets the pick from Rudy. Donovan's going left to right to the middle of the lane. Rudy's rolling on the outside, on the left side. But again, on this time, there's nobody in that left corner. So they went open corner on that side. All three shooters are in Donovan's visage, looking to his right. Rudy's now rolling on the left side with nobody there. Again, Donovan holds it up at the elbow, and it's not quite the same, but the big, instead of being able to drop, is caught kind of in between. He's able to get it over to Rudy, and there's no weak side help that's coming. So an open side corner was the big part of that one. The third one is exactly the same as the first one. Donovan waits again. Rudy gets all the way down. Donovan drives. Big steps up. Donovan has a much easier read than what he used to have. Tosses it over the top to Rudy for the dunk. Okay, so for all the chemistry and this and that and all the gobbledygook we've listened to for the longest period of time, the other one I would talk about here is simply an X's and O adjustment and change that the Jazz made in this game that may be what they're doing moving forward that is making the passing lane for Donovan way more open, the read way easier, and the ability to and if the big doesn't come to him, Donovan goes all the way to the rim. Like, that's the next step. When you're watching the scrimmage day at 3:30 against Brooklyn, Jarrett Allen is a big man who, and they play the drop big. We're going to see it again in this matchup today that allowed Rudy's going to get behind. And when you hear Quinn talk about patience, now can the Jazz do the same thing? Can the Jazz, against Jarrett Allen, who's a little bigger, probably a little more agile than Myers Leonard, but plays the same style, be able to do the same thing? I know it's cute to say, oh, they're getting along better. That's actually just a fundamental X's and O change, is my point. They may be getting along better too, but they were, my other point is, it's not like they were getting along terribly beforehand. Sure, they had their riffs or they had this, like, they weren't going to dinner, but let's not overplay this. Okay. There's a Mike Conley X's and O change as well that's taking place here. And we'll get into that. This one has to do with pick angles, where it's coming from. And I think it's actually adapting to Mike Conley to be a little bit more as though he's Memphis Mike. That's my quick take on the way I see that one. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie's done an interesting little research project asking 1,000 millennial Americans on real estate, and only 13% felt completely confident that they understood the process of buying and selling a home. 65% of respondents said they don't know the typical amount of commissions paid when selling a home. It's 6%, by the way. So in other words, a $3,000 home is $18,000. 42% of respondents believe it's free to use a buyer's agent to purchase a home. That is not true as well. The fact is the buyer's money is typically used to pay both the listing and the buyer agent in the transaction. That's where Homie comes in with their fixed prices and not using commission. And Homie is selling houses for at a higher price than comparable homes listed with traditional brokers. And they're also sold an estimated 8 days faster than comparable homes listed by brokers. If you want more about this, go to homie.com/millennials. That's, you got to be able to spell millennials, which I got no chance in doing. homie.com/millennials to check that out. If you're looking to buy a home, do things, text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. And a homie agent will help you find your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and work to get you $5,000 back. Also, if you're selling a home, do it as well. At homie, text LOCK to 88588. All right, let's take a look at Mike Conley's success in the third quarter. He was really, really good. We'll go to the 9:33 mark. He's hit a three already, so he's come up. He's already hit a three, kind of pulled into a three. He's got a little rhythm going. And we're going to walk through four different plays. So 9:33 left in the third. Conley comes up the left baseline on a set play. He does a little pitch handoff to Donovan, who gives to Ingles, and now back to Conley. That's all kind of the Quinn Snyder make-believe action to get them moving. But really, the play is a high pick and roll with Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert, and Gobert's pick is set outside the three-point line. He's got O'Neal in the right corners. He comes around with the right hand. Ingles and Mitchell post it. This is the traditional high pick and roll we've gotten used to. Conley comes under, snakes underneath it. Myers Leonard is dropping. Rudy is snuck behind Conley. There's no way for Conley to get this ball to Rudy. This is kind of everything we've talked about earlier with Donovan and how the Jazz have made a change. But with Conley in this case, Conley's aggressively attacking. Rudy's behind him. There's no way he's getting it past to him. It's now one-on-one with Myers Leonard because Leonard's dropped and Conley just toes up that right-handed floater up and in. Okay, there's no change there at all, but that actually exemplifies how hard it is for Donovan at times to find Rudy if you're just running it the same way as you always do. Okay, next time down, we have 8-4 or eight, few times down later, 8:13 left. Jazz run a play call. Conley goes down all the way down. This is actually the old Tony Parker. It's like, I think Tony Parker, Tim Duncan hip action. Conley goes all the way to the baseline. I mean, his right foot is almost on the baseline. Gobert comes to set a pick for him. Conley's on the left side of the floor. All three shooters are on the right side. So the left side of the floor is wide open. This is a little similar to the Donovan play we talked about earlier. And now Conley comes with a right-hand dribble off a Gobert pick. Gobert sets this pick. He's in line with, he's about 15 to 18 feet out on the left side, and he is about 5 feet off the baseline. So he's pretty deep. Conley comes around the pick. Because Rudy was so deep, as Rudy rolls, he's now a front in front of Conley. Myers Leonard steps up. Rudy's rolling on the baseline. It's actually the exact same as a normal pick and roll, if you think about the way they're, except for the fact that they're coming sideways from the left side. Rudy's now running equal to the rim on the baseline, and Conley's on a pick and roll with the dotted line. None the defenders behind him. Myers Leonard's trying to guard both of them, but sideways, and Conley floats up a right-hand floater and scores it. Okay, so really, frankly, Myers Leonard did probably what you'd want him to do defensively at that point, because of the fact that he was able to prevent the dunk or prevent the layup. We got 7:36 left. And I got behind on the coach's challenge. That block by, and Mike Conley goes to work again. This time he's going to find a nice little dunk from, let me see if I can find it for you. Okay, got it. 7:40 left. Ingles sets up. Conley comes out. A little bit of a variation, but if you think about Conley actually having the basketball here, it's almost the exact same. Conley comes from the other corner this time, the far right corner, but he doesn't have the basketball. Instead, Gobert goes down to set a pin down for him. It's the exact same pick they ran the last time, except for that time Conley had the ball. So Conley gets the ball from Joe Ingles at the perfect moment, coming around the curl, and he's actually got more momentum than if he had started with the dribble. This is where Quinn's brilliant. And Joe Ingles makes a perfect pass. And so really coming around the exact same manner, Conley comes around, catches the pass. Rudy's rolling. Nunn is trailing because he came off the pick. Myers Leonard's trying to guard it. It's the exact same as what we saw a moment ago. Floater up and in. Now, Conley's not finding Rudy on these, but he's getting lower, quicker floaters in rhythm that you'd want him to get, playing off the baseline instead of trying to navigate into the lane. And we talk about that first, and Rudy's an option. Whereas the first time we looked at this, if you recall, when things took place, what we saw was that Conley got in front of Rudy and there was no way to get it back to Rudy behind him because Conley's coming downhill, whereas Donovan was hesitating. Now let's watch this one at 6:30. This is going to actually end up being a Conley three. Conley's on the left side, guarded by Nunn again. Now part of this is he's guarded by Nunn, who's not a particularly good defensive player, and so he's torching him. Jazz clear out the left side again. Conley's going to takes it down to the left side. All the shooters are on the other side. Open side. Rudy comes to set the pick. This one's a little higher. Instead of being at the restricted line parallel, it's up at the dotted line. Nunn, great pick by Rudy. Nunn tries to go under. Rudy twists and seals him, so Conley steps behind the three-point line and buries a three. It's a pretty neat sequence of plays there. So if you want to know why the Jazz were more successful against Miami, is some adjustments, some movements of pieces. We saw the Donovan hesitation in the pick and roll, and we saw Mike Conley playing very much like he did off Gasol. The next side with Gasol was they used to give Gasol, Conley would go down, pass to Gasol, and then run off him on a handoff. We'll see if the Jazz integrate that as well. Quinn Snyder wants more threes taken. The Jazz did that in the game. Jordan Clarkson understood exactly what Quinn Snyder wanted, just bombed all threes. But if you look at the Jazz took about 50% of their shots as threes, 40 of their 81. That's what the Jazz wanted. Clarkson took 9, Niang took 9, Donovan took 5, Conley took 5. Quinn's very concerned about the fact that the Jazz have 9 three-point shots a game in Bogdanovich that have to be picked up, and there's not a new player that's playing those minutes. Emmanuel Mudiay's 18 minutes right now is really the big change. He's the new person into the rotation. Jordan Clarkson's minutes are up a little bit at 20. You know, we'll see how the Jazz do it today. Do they get closer to their regular routine, their final scrimmage at 3:30 today against Brooklyn? Few other notes. Gobert, obviously, 21 points, 8 of 9. Quinn's pregame to me, Ayak talked about eyes out. He talked about eyes to the rim. Eyes to the rim. So the Jazz are really trying to pound the rim and pound the three. Gobert, the movement of Gobert on all these pick and rolls makes it more difficult to grab him. When he's playing at the top, they're able to grab him, delay the play. When he's playing lower, they're not able to grab him as much. Phoenix grabbed and held him a good deal of the time. And it seemed as though that helped a great deal. Defense was better against Miami, but I would caution a little bit. Miami doesn't have like one-on-one personnel. Phoenix has guys that are going one-on-one to beat you. If you look at Miami, Duncan Robinson, Derek Jones Jr., Myers Leonard, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Goran Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, none of those guys are going one-on-one. Jimmy Butler wasn't playing. Bam Adebayo, they run their offense through the same way they do Jokic. So I'd get a little caution. You know, there weren't a lot of guys we had to guard our yard against. We did a great job on Duncan Robinson denying the ball. That's kind of the essence. Tyler Hero, who's their best one-on-one player, actually had a pretty decent game against us. So I'd keep an eye on that. The other one to keep an eye on is teams keep trying to isolate Rudy Gobert. He's the best isolation defender in the NBA. And they, twice they tried it. They got nothing out of it. Just keep watching as teams do it if the Jazz switch and see whether or not teams try it and whether it works or not. But it has not seemed to work much at all. The final one, Tony Bradley's not playing great. Minus 17 in his 15 minutes. Joe Ingles has not hit a three yet and got it rolling. Those would be the two guys that today against Brooklyn, you certainly would hope they find a little bit of rhythm. Tony's been so great, so mature, such a great camp. All those aspects of him seem so positive coming in. It just has not manifested itself yet in the opening two scrimmage games. This one was, you know, his matchup was a little funky with Kelly Olynyk. That's not a great matchup for him. He pulls him out, plays him a bunch of different ways. He's kind of crafty in that way. DeAndre Ayton minutes were not easy for him. So he's going to have to figure out where he can be Tony, where he can be successful. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today, 3:30 scrimmage. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you going through those film studies with me. I'm Donovan and Mike Conley. Thanks very much. Have a great day. And Monday edition, Josh Lloyd gives you the local experts on the biggest stories. And all week long on Locked On NBA after today, we will be looking at all of the recapping and previewing the season on Locked On NBA. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.